You're listening to Your Financial Planner Now What, the podcast to help you fast track your career by bringing you meaningful conversations on topics that influence new financial planners, their careers, and the lives of their clients. Today's episode was recorded live at FinCon 2017 in Dallas, Texas. Special thanks to the FinCon Podcast Network for sponsoring the live podcast recordings. We had so much fun sitting down with Kaylee Hawk of Creative Advisor Marketing. Kaylee focuses on marketing strategies for financial advisors and helping them communicate their values to clients and prospects. We hope you'll enjoy her top marketing tips for financial planners, who she sees in the profession doing a phenomenal job with their marketing, and how trial and error isn't something to be afraid of. If you want to hear more from Kaylee, join us in the FPA Activate Facebook group on Tuesday, November 7th at 11 a.m. Central Time to hear Kaylee do a live website critique of financial planners' websites. Well, today we are recording live from the FinCon podcasting booth, if you would. And I have Kaylee Hawk. She is the founder of Creative Advisor Marketing, an inbound marketing firm designed to help financial planners communicate their value to their target market. And she's already been speaking at FinCon, and I'm so excited to have you. So thank you for being here, Kaylee.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm excited.
Yeah. So even in your intro, you help financial planners communicate their value to their target market. What is the biggest barrier that you've seen with financial advisors communicating their value?
I think the biggest one is that financial advisors, they know a lot. You're an expert in what you're doing. You have a lot of training. You have a lot of experience. And most advisors feel like they need to get all of that and capture it and make sure their audience knows that. And it's tempting to want to give all that information because it's showing how much of an expert you are, how good you are at what you do. But most people don't really care about your solution. They care about their problem. And that sounds harsh, but it's just human nature. We kind of think in terms of what's going on in our world. And most advisors don't make that distinction. And it's tough. It's hard. I think the other part of that that's difficult is when you're marketing online specifically, a lot of it is through write-in. And most advisors are very, very good when you sit down and you talk with them. They're very articulate, they can communicate very well. But that doesn't always translate into written communication, and something kind of gets hung up there. And usually we're better at one or the other. We're better at speaking or we're better at writing.
So you said that, you know, when there's a distinction between what we know and what needs to be communicated, can you give like just an example of what you're talking about on that?
Sure. Let's see. I think it comes back to thinking about your solution, which is your knowledge, your expertise, what you can do for somebody else. That's what we usually focus on telling people. So they're like, oh, they can make an informed decision now that they know how good I am, right?
Right.
But most people don't hear that. They're not in a position to really get that. They're more focused on, again, what's going on for them, their problem. So if you can communicate in terms of their pain points, and this is going to depend on who you're trying to reach, you know, what they're struggling with. If you can show you get what it's like to walk in their shoes, then you can get their attention, you can be heard, and at that point you can start transitioning to talking about, here's what I know, and here's how I can help you.
So clients don't really care about our asset allocation at the beginning. They more care that we have a solution for them. Is that?
Yeah, I don't think they care so much about what your thoughts are on asset allocation at the beginning, like you said. And I don't necessarily think that they are looking at how good of a financial planner you are. I think most people are looking at, do you understand where they're at and what they're dealing with, and can you relate to that specific problem or challenge that they're having? Because if they can get that you understand that, then they're going to be much more receptive to, like, all right, how do we move forward then? How do we progress?
It's like you're a perfect example of that. You know, creative advisor marketing, like you're speaking specifically to your audience. I mean, you've even included advisors in your title of your firm.
Like, yes, I decided to be obvious rather than clever with that.
Like, we're not going to hold any punches on that one. So if you were starting out or advising a financial planning practice from scratch and that had a very limited marketing budget, how would you start?
I think we always have usually one of two resources, time or money. And when you're starting out, the biggest resource that you have is your time. If you're starting from scratch and you have no clients, then the most effective thing you can do is to invest your time into, to me, I'm biased, but it's inbound marketing. And then it's a good position to be in, because that's the biggest thing you need with inbound is time. So take the time to research your target audience. Really find somebody you want to serve, somebody really specific or a specific group of people. Understand them, do some research on what they're dealing with, really try to walk in their shoes as much as possible. Use your empathy to get what they're going through. Identify your target market, really define a niche. And I say niche instead of niche because I am not fancy. So I'll say niche, but define that. Know precisely who you're talking to, and then think about what kind of content can I create for those people. And that could be a blog, it could be a podcast like this one, it could be video. You have a lot of options, and the right one is going to depend on, you're going to have to go back to that target audience and all the work that you did to understand them. You're going to want to be where they are, and you're going to want to deliver your content in a way that they like to consume it. So for example, a lot of people, maybe they have a long commute to work. They might not read a 2,000-word blog post, but they may listen to an hour-long podcast because that's, you know, they have the time in the car. So that's just an example of what I mean by in the way that they like to consume content.
Well, what I like about this is I talk to a lot of planners who are like, you know, maybe someday I'd want to start my own firm. A lot of this is work that they can be doing now, trying to see, you know, when you're working with clients, who are you naturally drawn to, who's drawn to you, and do a lot of that market research, like, right now.
Absolutely.
Even before you step out on your own or step into a producer role.
Yes, and that's a great point that people can be doing if they are starting to think about, well, I want to start my own firm and I'm going to be building it from the ground up. Don't wait to market. And I don't mean that as in start putting stuff out there, because that might not work for you. But you can be sitting and writing and having those blog posts ready to go when you launch. You can be doing, like you were saying, all of your market research, understanding your target audience, having the conversations with the people you want to serve now, so you can start building up this knowledge about those people. And then again, in the time that you have, be creating whatever content, whatever, you know, marketing materials, assets, whatever you want to have, so that when you launch, you have this whole arsenal of marketing stuff to put out there and to use.
Yeah. Well, I love the analogy of financial planning process that we use with our clients. I feel like marketing is very much the same way. It is a process, and we can be doing a lot of that now.
Right, definitely.
You know, before when you were talking, you were saying that advisors are usually either kind of people in general are either geared towards more speaking or more writing. And I'll say that I'm much, obviously, more geared towards speaking. But how, if writing's the weak point, how do you get better at writing?
The biggest thing you can do is just practice. It really is just set a time in your calendar every single day. Maybe it's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, or maybe it's the first thing you do when you get into the office. Just put 30 minutes on a timer even, so you know you don't have to do more than 30 minutes, but just sit down and do the work. That's the biggest, most useful, helpful thing you can do is to be a better writer, is to write. That doesn't mean it's any less painful if you're not good at it right now. And then some things that you can do to help with that. Once you're in the habit of just writing, you don't necessarily have to sit down at your computer and type out your content. Pull up your voice to text, like dictation. Use that if you're just really not into writing. You know, talk it out and then go back and edit the written content. That would be maybe one workaround if sitting down at your desk and writing every day sounds like you'd rather put a fork in your eye or something.
Well, it's like we tell our clients to budget, and I feel like it's the same thing where our clients are like, oh my gosh, that's like poke my eyes out. You know, but it's like, it's just a discipline that you need if you really want to be doing a lot of your own marketing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good comparison, good analogy.
So there's a lot of ideas when you start reading about content marketing and inbound marketing. How do you prioritize the most important things? So like, I mean, we're told to build up our email lists, be emailing clients, be emailing people who are on our list on a regular basis, blogging, social media, ebooks, I mean, podcasts. There's just this whole list. If somebody's not doing a whole lot right now, where should they start, or how do you prioritize that?
I think you always start with knowing your audience. And that's a lot of questions that I get asked about marketing. That's the answer. It's always know your audience, go back to them. If you know who they are and you know where they hang out and you know their habits, you know what they think, what they care about, their beliefs, their worldview, I mean, really getting into their heads and understanding how they operate, the operating system that they use to navigate day to day. If you know that, the tactics kind of reveal themselves. And what I mean by tactics is all those things that you listed out, blogging, ebooks, podcasts, video, all of those are good options. All of them are right in some situation. The one that's going to be best will depend on who it is that you're trying to reach. So I would say start there, but that's not a direct answer to your question. So a direct answer would be to start with whatever feels easiest to you. If you're not doing anything and you're getting stuck somewhere, just start with something so you get that momentum.
Yeah. Oh, I like that, like the low-hanging fruit. Just get that out of the way.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Well, and a really tangible thing could be if you already have an existing client base or you're within a firm, like just send out a survey and ask people where they are, what they'd want to hear from you. I mean, maybe.
Surveys are a good place to start. Just make sure that you're not asking leading questions. Try to have them open-ended.
Yeah.
And whenever you have a chance, have a real conversation with somebody instead of sending a survey. I think they're good, you know, good resources and good tools, but sitting down and having a face-to-face conversation where you can ask, and then you can ask follow-up questions depending on what their answer is, that's really useful, really valuable.
So you've worked with a lot of people. What are realistic expectations for firms who are evaluating doing content marketing?
I think the biggest expectation I can set is that it's going to take 6 months to a year before you start seeing results. This stuff takes time. It takes time to create. It takes time just doing the same consistent action over and over and over again. And I feel like that's, you know, back to the idea that this is kind of like financial planning where it's a process. The way to financial success is not like one big, huge leap, a huge good idea. It's the same simple action that you take just over and over and over again. Consistency is going to be a word that I need to look up later, but that's a key. Consistency is key. You have to just keep pounding the pavement and create this like steady stream of content.
So what are your thoughts on paying somebody to write for you versus writing for yourself?
It depends.
You do sound like a financial planner.
I know,
it
right?
It depends.
That's the answer to everything. Well, it depends. It does depend on what you feel comfortable with and what you truly have time for. I think if your revenue is not over six figures yet, I would say $150,000 to $200,000, if your firm is not generating that in revenue, you need to do it yourself. You don't need to spend money on marketing. I don't think it's a good investment because there's so much that you can do yourself for free. And I think you're going to get more value out of it if you just put in the work, put in the time. I know it's hard. That doesn't mean it's easy or fun necessarily to do all that extra work. But I think it's probably the best thing to do is until you hit that revenue mark. And then if it's something that you hate doing, if it's something you're not good at doing, outsource it. Get rid of it. It's any point where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore, and you have the budget to outsource it, don't hesitate. Outsource it.
So, you know, you're talking about you need 6 to 12 months. So people who've been doing it 6 to 12 months on a regular basis, I mean, I know people who've done that consistently and even longer than that. How do you evaluate whether that content marketing is working well or not? I mean, I feel like, you know, one of the things that I appreciate about marketing is that it can be measurable. And that's one of the things that I've learned personally in the last couple of years is that that's actually drawn me to more marketing is because you can get very tangible with that. So if you've been doing it for 6 months or 12 months, how do you know if you're being successful?
First thing I would do is make sure you have goals that you set. If you don't have goals, then you just need to back up and start there because there's nothing to judge it by. Make sure you have goals. Make sure you know why you're doing what you're doing, and make sure that you're tracking those metrics. So if you don't have those things in place, I would get those in place first and then start doing the legwork again, do, you know, another 6 months of it. If those things are in place and you still don't know why something isn't working, I think you take a step back and you look at your strategy. You know, and it really comes back to why are you doing what you're doing. And the strategy is just based on, again, who are you trying to reach? How are you communicating with them? I think if you're looking at tactics first and you're constantly asking, well, what's the next thing? What can I do? What can I do? This isn't working. there's something missing on the big picture side, the more intangible side. And I think we're culturally kind of conditioned to want to do the things that are easy to track and easy to measure, but sometimes like word of mouth, content marketing, social media is really hard to measure the ROI on, but it's some of the most effective stuff you can do. So I think it's just, when it's not working or you're not happy with the results, take a step back and look at what big picture pieces are you missing. Do you have goals, metrics, strategy? And then get honest with yourself about, what am I missing here? What do I not know? And what do I don't know I don't know? Which is, it's hard to take a look at that and see where the missing piece is.
I just keep seeing all of these parallels between what we do with clients and this marketing. Because what you're saying is what so many clients who come to us, we're like, I've been trying to do it and nothing's been working or successful. And that's where financial planners can add the most value. And maybe that's where marketers add the most value. And maybe that's where reaching out to somebody and talking to somebody could be really, really good. So many of our listeners right now work at firms. And so how would you pitch this idea of content marketing to firm owners?
Pitch it to firm owners who don't believe in it?
Or who, quite frankly, I mean, we're all financial planners, who might not even know that that term exists.
Ah, okay. I think this is another one of those, like, it depends answers. But truly, I don't really pitch the idea to somebody who, A, doesn't believe in it, or doesn't think it's worthwhile. I just, they're not my target market. I don't bother, because there's probably something, a solution out there that's better for them. If there's some reason that they're very against it, they're like, no, it's not going to work.
So maybe it's not a battle even worth fighting.
I don't think so. And if, I mean, going back to financial planning, that's what I tell financial planners when they're marketing. If they have a target audience that doesn't want a financial planner, like, don't market to those people. You don't want to try to convince somebody that they're wrong. Just think about, if you've ever tried to argue with somebody by telling them that they're wrong, did you ever change their mind? Probably not. So it's the same sort of idea. If you have an audience that absolutely does not, like, I do not need this, I do not want to do this, whether it's financial planning or it's marketing, I think you need a new target audience. But as when it comes to just educating someone, I try to look at the data and I try to show them where the tangible return is first, because usually numbers are pretty compelling to advisors. They want to see where they're going to get a return for the budget that they put into it. And then I also make the case that content marketing is about building a relationship with somebody when you can't talk to them face to face. And that's critical in this industry, because it's a relationship-based profession. You know, you have to have relationships and connections with the people that you work with, or they're not going to trust you. And especially if you're working with younger clients, one in four millennials doesn't trust anybody for financial advice. And millennials are not teenagers and people in their early 20s. At this point, the oldest millennial is 37, 38 years old. Either they have some assets, a lot of them do, or they're high income earners. So they are good clients. So you can't dismiss it just because, oh, millennials. You know, there are some good clients out there that are younger, and they don't trust, one in four doesn't trust anybody. So they don't trust their parents, they don't trust their friends, and they certainly don't trust some advisor that they don't know, that they have these preconceived notions about. So content is a way to bridge that gap, to build trust in somebody when they don't know you, when they're skeptical of you, when they're questioning you. It's a good way to show who you are and to authentically share that you get where they're at and that you have a way that you can help them if they're interested.
So for the planner who's looking at going out on their own, could they do... this is probably going to be another it depends question. but if could content marketing be their full marketing plan? Or do you have to supplement it with other types of marketing?
I think you should start with content marketing as your full marketing plan. Again, because all of content marketing you can do yourself and you can do it for free. That may not be the best long-term idea, but it's a way to get started. It's a way to get momentum going. And then if you get to a point where you feel like you want to take it up a notch, you've been doing content marketing, like I said, that 6 months to a year period at least, you're going to have a big log of organic content. And what I mean by organic is not advertising. It's something that you generated yourself and it earned attention rather than you paid to get eyeballs on it. Mm-hmm. Once you have that big silo of content, you can look across your organic content and you can say, this post performed well, or this type of content does really well. And if you're interested in going above and beyond content marketing, it'll tell you where to start putting your dollars. So you can back your winners, your content that did well for paid campaigns or other types of marketing, rather than just kind of shooting in the dark and like, well, I like this post. Surely, you know, it's going to do well. That rarely happens.
It's about us instead of the client.
Right,
when we
exactly.
do that. Yep.
Yeah. But I do definitely see people who, when they feel like they start getting stuck, so back to your previous question about what should you do if you feel like it's not working, just because you do content marketing doesn't mean you have to ignore more traditional, old school ways of getting clients, like networking, join a BNI group, be somewhere in person, start your own community. That's been a really cool way that I've experienced myself, like just growing my network and building new connections, is I started a community of female entrepreneurs in Boston, and the specific thing that ties everybody together is they're not originally from Boston. So that's created like this really great camaraderie. There's hundreds of people in the group now, and it's just really cool. So if you can build your own community, and that kind of combines some content marketing, and it can combine in-person events, more traditional ways of marketing yourself or growing your firm.
Oh, that's great. I love that. And it's so authentic. You know, it just feels very much like that's who you would already be in your daily life.
Right. Yeah. That's always, when you're doing something that you enjoy doing, that's a good sign, no matter what kind of marketing it is. If it's coming from an authentic, like, I love this sort of place, I want to do this, regardless of what business, you know, ROI I get from it.
Yeah.
It's a good track to be on.
So who are the people or companies in our space who are doing content marketing really well today?
Ooh, in our space, meaning financial planning? Let's see. I think Mary Beth Storjahan from Workable Wealth does a really, really nice job. Define Financial is another one. Taylor and John are over there. They do a really good job of putting out content that's relevant to the people that they're working with. And they do a great job of being consistent with it. And they're both very strongly branded. They have a unique voice. They have a unique tone to what they're doing. I really like how Mary Beth uses, she's got a blog, she's got a podcast, she's got a book. And she has a Facebook group, a community as well. And I feel like she's really working on building up this connection between her and her readers. She really talks about a lot of personal things. She puts a lot of personal things on social media. And the target market that she's working with really resonates with that.
And her Instagram. I love following her on Instagram. I know that's so silly. I'm like, I love advisors on Instagram.
Yeah, she does a nice job. And I like Taylor and John have, they have definefinancial.com, but they also have this whole other separate site called staywealthysandiego.com. And it's just a blog, and it's used, a podcast now too, I think, but it's used as a marketing tool for Define Financial. So I like how they have that set up. It's a cool strategy if you can commit the time to, now it's two websites, it's like even more complicated. But it's neat because they made that super specific to their local area, and they talk about things that people in San Diego care about.
So as we wrap up, what have you, I'm going to kind of give you two questions that kind of let you go with where you want to go.
All righty.
So since you've been working with advisors, like what have you learned about advisors or working with what's best? And I'll kind of wrap that into like, what is your biggest piece of advice for advisors, just from your perspective?
I don't think I can say know your audience again, because, but really I would, that would be a big one is know your audience. I think the other one is to try everything yourself first. Just give it a try. If you suck at it, that's fine. You don't have to publish it or put it out there or anything like that. You can, nobody but you has to see it. But try to do these things, this marketing, by yourself first. And because doing that will allow you to learn what you're good at, what you're not, what you like doing, what you hate doing, what would really be worth it for you to learn and dig into, and what just needs to go out the door to somebody else to let them handle it. Mm-hmm. I think when you have that experience, you are able to make better judgment calls on how and who can help you, or how to do your marketing and who can help you do it.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate
Excellent.
It.
Special thanks to the FinCon Podcast Network for sponsoring a live podcast recording at FinCon 2017. As a reminder, if you want to hear more marketing goodness from Kaylee, join us in the FPA Activate Facebook group to watch her do a live critique of advisors' websites on Tuesday, November 7th. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again next week.